You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota. LeBron James, Space Jam 2, it's happening. And Grant Napier joins the show. It's going to be a fun Wednesday edition of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Welcome to those who are new. This is the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Right here is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage and Kings talk and interviews, whether it is the preseason, whether it is training camp, the offseason, the regular season, no matter what, we have it for you all the time right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host each and every single week. I work at Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. So like I just teased with you, we got a lot to get to, so I'm not going to waste any time. Grant Napier going to be joining me here in just a minute, the play-by-play voice, TV play-by-play voice of the Sacramento Kings. He is back. I chatted with him earlier on in the summer, right at the beginning of the summer, and we talked about how massive of the summer this was, and he talked about the emphasis that this summer is going to have and the importance that this summer has on De'Aaron Fox personally. So we're going to chat about that and a plethora of other things. But the big news happening in the NBA today is that Jimmy Butler, after meeting with head coach Tom Thibodeau, wants out of Minnesota. The Minnesota Timberwolves last year broke the longest playoff drought in the NBA, handing that title down to, yes, the Sacramento Kings. And this summer, instead of being all about optimism and taking the next step forward and going from a quick playoff exit maybe to a deep playoff run, suddenly we're talking about superstar wanting out, factions in the locker room, discontent with the head coach Tom Thibodeau. There's a lot of chaos and craziness and negativity swirling around the Minnesota Timberwolves organization right now. And Jimmy Butler said, I've had enough of it. I don't want to be here. I don't have to be here. I want out. Get me the hell out of here. And I feel like we saw this coming. We heard rumors of discontent. Well, it really all started with Tom Thibodeau's ridiculous starting rotations. Not necessarily the five guys that he was running out there, but the fact that he was playing them nearly 40 minutes a night, especially in games that either didn't matter or were already over. I remember when the Minnesota Timberwolves played in Sacramento last year, and the game was over. The Minnesota Timberwolves were up by like 18, 19 points to start the fourth quarter. Kings ended up bringing it down to like 17-16 about, let's say, a quarter of the way into a quarter, if that makes sense, about 2 or 3 minutes into that quarter. And then he subbed his starters back in. They played for the remainder of the game in a game that, one, was meaningless because the Minnesota Timberwolves were already well in playoff contention. And they were playing the Sacramento Kings towards the end of the season. It just didn't make any sense, but that was what Thibodeau did all year long, was playing max minutes for his players. That did a bad job for him because he kind of alienated his bench unit, sitting there wondering, okay, are we going to get any playing time? When are we going to play? How important are we to this team? And the starters saying, coach, man, I'm tired. Get me out of here. This is meaningless. You're risking me getting hurt. We're going to be exhausted by the time we get to the playoffs, which, lo and behold, they were, and they ended up exiting early. So Jimmy Butler wants out, and that seemed like a match made in heaven, didn't it? When Jimmy Butler was traded from the Bulls to Tom Thibodeau and the Minnesota Timberwolves, seemingly the missing piece that was going to finally get them over the hump. We've heard potential discontent or frustrations between Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns, also maybe some between Andrew Wiggins as well. With the roster that the Minnesota Timberwolves put together going into this season, at least before we heard about all this chaos, you would expect them to be towards the top of the upper echelon of a very, very competitive Western Conference. But now they're on the outside looking in potentially. They do still have Karl-Anthony Towns, Wiggins, Teague, so they do still have plenty of talent, but this is a big loss in Jimmy Butler, who says he wants to go to one of three destinations: the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks, or the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, all three of those teams have a large amount of cap space already open for this next summer, which is where Jimmy Butler is expecting a major payday. So that was probably the main reason for these destinations, but also three big markets, two in New York, one in LA. It just makes a lot of sense for him to go in either of those directions. We'll have to wait and see what kind of deal gets done. I would expect the deal to be getting done here probably in the next week with how these things go. Training camps are about to get going. The Timberwolves don't want to have to deal with this baggage and this chaos going into training camp next year. I'm no Tom Thibodeau certainly doesn't want to after this unsuccessful meeting that he had with his all-star. But newsflash, Kings fans, guess what? The Kings are probably not going to be involved unless they are there to help maybe work salaries and take on a player or take on a bad contract. There's still the opportunity there. The Kings are one of a few teams that could potentially be used as a trade helper or a trade assist, just a team that's there to work with some salaries and work with some players and some roster spots. So the Kings could be active in that way. But if you're hoping that Jimmy Butler is going to become a Sacramento King and the Kings have anything remotely interesting to offer the Minnesota Timberwolves, you would be wrong. You would be mistaken. There's no chance in hell Jimmy Butler is going to be in a Kings uniform. Sorry to burst your bubble, but I had to just get that out there. But we'll have to wait and see what Jimmy Butler does. Out of those three teams, where do I expect him to go? I think the Clippers make a lot of sense. However, they seem to be on the verge of a potential rebuild here. I think he needs to go to the New York Knicks. Playing alongside Kristaps Porzingis adds another interesting piece to the puzzle of if Kyrie Irving ends up leaving Boston and going to New York, like we've heard rumors that he's interested in doing. A potential pairing between Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, and Kristaps Porzingis in New York could be a scary big three to have to deal with there in the Eastern Conference. So if I'm Jimmy Butler and if the money's right and the trade's there, I'm going to New York, although it would be interesting to see what New York really has to offer and what they can use to entice the Timberwolves and what really the Timberwolves are after in return. Do they go after draft picks and look towards the future? Or are they going to try and add assets that can help them win right now because they just got to the playoffs and they don't want to exit again quickly? They want to try and build upon it and not waste the years in the prime time of Karl Anthony Towns. Well, we'll see if Jimmy Butler leaving causes that dark cloud over that franchise to clear up a little bit, if Butler potentially himself was one of the roots of the problems. We'll just have to wait and see what happens in Minnesota. But tough day for Timberwolves fans. Just goes to show, man, even with winning, it doesn't cure all. And there's some major issues that they have to work out there in Minnesota. Glad to be joined by the TV play-by-play broadcaster for the Sacramento Kings, someone who's going to be entering another season of Kings basketball, Grant, but a little bit different this year as you're a radio partner, and Doug Christie is now going to be joining you full-time on the broadcast. I'm excited. I know as a lot of fans are excited to see and hear how the two of you work together and bring your very clear on-air chemistry to the radio or to the television broadcast, I should say. But last time we spoke, Grant, we were talking about this offseason heading into it, and I thought it was going to be one of the major off seasons in the history of this organization. And you talked to me about how you think it's all about De'Aaron Fox and the growth that De'Aaron Fox shows. I was wondering if based off of what you've seen, what we saw from the one game in the California Classic, what you heard from his comments beforehand, do you think it was a successful summer for De'Aaron?
I think it was a successful summer based on his time that he put in. And in speaking with people within the Kings organization that monitored his workouts and everything that he did this summer, I think, from what I understand, he is significantly better than he was 12 months ago. And he should be. If he's not, then there's something wrong. I don't put a lot of stock into the one game at the Capital Classic. I mean, it was better that he excelled than not. But he's the quarterback of the team. He's the team's point guard. And point guard right now is the most important position in the NBA. And if you have a really good point guard, you can be a good team. If you don't have a good point guard, it's difficult to be a good team. So, you know, when I say to you and others that De'Aaron Fox is the key, the point I'm trying to make is the Kings will improve as quickly as De'Aaron Fox does. And so that is, to me, the most intriguing part as we enter year two of this young nucleus.
Sometimes we pay attention to one number more importantly to another, and that's the number five of the draft class versus 19, 20 years old that De'Aaron Fox is, so we put so much expectations. And he actually puts a lot of expectations on himself. I don't know if you heard his comments on Danny Green's podcast recently, but he said that he actually doesn't think that he played all that well last year, and he doesn't think he played all that well his freshman year at Kentucky. He said that there's still so much that he can prove and that he's his own biggest critic. Sometimes we have expectations of especially a young point guard coming in and transcending, taking things and getting things right away. And we saw some struggles, but we saw a clear improvement from the beginning of the season to the end and then into this summer. Based off of that track record, what are you necessarily expecting from De'Aaron on opening night?
First of all, I don't think he fully understands what a freakish athlete he is. He has the ability to do things on the court that very few in the entire NBA can duplicate because they're not as gifted athletically. And I don't even think, and speaking with people that watch him more than I do, that's what they tell me. They go, oh, we're trying to get De'Aaron to realize that he is freakish and that he can just get to anywhere he wants on the floor, anytime he wants. The best thing I can say about De'Aaron Fox is he wants to be great. And he has that drive. Now, saying it and doing it are two different things. My biggest fear with De'Aaron Fox is the style that he plays, flying through the air, you have to land. Mm-hmm. All right? I worry about injury with him. That's the only concern that I have with De'Aaron Fox is his durability. To me, De'Aaron Fox, his goal this year should be able to, he needs to play a minimum of 70 games this year, okay? And moving forward, that number's got to get up to 75. I mean, he's the quarterback of the team. This team needs De'Aaron Fox to be on the floor to have a chance to be good. And again, you're right about we sometimes forget how young these players are. He's now 20, all right? He can't legally go out and buy a beer.
Right.
Fans want it now, now, now. De'Aaron Fox is close, in my opinion, to being really good, but that still may be 1 or 2 years away.
I want to dive into specifically this offseason, the Marvin Bagley pick, mm-hmm. where the Kings ended up in the draft, and we'll get to all that in just a second. But I wanted to continue off of one of the things that you were saying about De'Aaron Fox. You actually had Dave Yeager recently on your show with Doug on KHDK, and one of the things Dave said was very similar to what you're saying. This year is about De'Aaron Fox. He's mm-hmm. going to get a lot of time. There's a high expectation of the leading minutes of the out of all of his teammates, which you talk about and you bring up the durability aspect of it. One thing I'm really looking forward to and really going to be paying attention to, Grant, and it provides a question mark for Dave Yeager's rotations and from that standpoint, which we can get into later. But I think the success of this team completely revolves around their ability to push the
right.
tempo, run in transition, fast
yep.
break, and use that freakish athleticism that De'Aaron Fox has. Do you think he is ready and capable of running that offense right now, and is that the best case scenario for the Kings to be successful?
It's going to be a track meet. I've been at a couple of workouts this summer, and I've talked to Dave, privately, yeah. and they're going to step on the accelerator this year. That's the only chance this team has to compete. They've got not only De'Aaron Fox, but when you look at Willie Cauley-Stein, when you look at Harry Giles, when you look at Marvin Bagley, these are all thoroughbreds, and they can get up and down the court. Right. And that's the style that the Kings are going to have to play. And first of all, that's what they're going to be best at. I think that's what the fans want to see. And, you know, it doesn't do any good to have a player like De'Aaron Fox and walk the ball up.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I mean, so for that reason, you're going to see, I think, major up-tempo. They're going to get the ball and they're going to go. Now, you can't run if you don't have the ball, and it goes back to rebounding. This team's going to have to figure out a way to rebound the ball at a very good level to be able to start in transition.
You're around the team more than anybody. You're around Coach Dave Yeager. Mm-hmm. You travel with them, so you'd know better than anybody else. There is natural skepticism amongst fans, myself included, about their ability to run in transition and their commitment to that based off of some of Yeager's rotations in the past. I was for the idea of letting Fox and the other young players last year earn their minutes, not just give mm-hmm. it to them right away. This year, however, I'm expecting big minutes from them. We saw a lot of Zach Randolph, maybe too much, in my opinion, despite the fact that mm-hmm. he was one of the best go-to scorers on the team. How confident are you in Dave Yeager that he can adapt his system and he will commit to this run-and-gun style?
I think he will have to commit to the run-and-gun style, or he probably won't be here for much longer. I mean, let's just call it the way it is. And, you know, Dave's a really good coach, and he's really bright. Last year's different. I mean, I agree with what he did last year. I wouldn't have handed the keys to the car to anybody that came in the draft last year. I don't believe in that. And now those guys are they're in their second year. They've earned their playing time. And so I have no problem if those guys play a lot of minutes. I like what Dave did last year. I don't think that you could have not played Zach Randolph and Kosta Koufos and the other guys and just played the rookies starting in November and playing major minutes, I think you would have lost the team. I think it would have been a disaster. Dave's a very bright guy. He's done this before. He knows how to coach. You know, I know that Dave chuckles when he hears comments like you make and others, and I get that. Like, gee, you know, is the coach going to let him go? Of course he is.
Right.
But this year to me, Matt, is night and day different from last year because, yes, this team is still young, but now they're young with experience, with the exception of Marvin Bagley. And so I don't think that's going to be an issue this year. If anything, we may be having a conversation in November or December. Gee, the Kings are averaging 19 turnovers a game. Well, okay, you wanted them to run. Well, if you're going to run, you're probably going to throw the ball away a little bit more. So you got to understand that that comes, that's part of being able to run the ball. Maybe you'll throw the ball away a little bit more than you normally would. But I don't think Dave Yeager wants to hold these guys back. He's a bright, bright guy. I think he's an excellent coach. He's not going to have these guys walk the ball up.
So Kings essentially win draft lottery without getting the number one overall pick, surprising all the way up to the number two pick. We know the extensive process that goes into, and it doesn't just begin as soon as they find out their pick. We know that Vlade and his staff have been working throughout the season to prepare and get as much information as they can going into that draft. But they land the number two pick, end up going with the athletic big man out of Duke in Marvin Bagley. Vlade's reasoning behind it, which makes the most sense, although some fans took exception to it, was they didn't want to really take the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands, which was a concern with Luka Doncic. Do you understand that reasoning, and how well do you think Bagley can fit with Fox and what the Kings are trying to do?
I understand the reasoning that they took what I thought was the best player available at number two, regardless of position. And they honestly felt that Marvin Bagley was the best player in the draft at number two, and that's why they took him. Do I believe that they didn't take Luka Doncic because they had De'Aaron Fox? No. I believe they took Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic because they think he's going to be a better NBA player. Now, I'll also make a prediction. I think Luka Doncic should be Rookie of the Year this year. He's the most NBA rookie ready of any of these guys because he's been playing professional basketball for a couple of years. And the thing that fans are going to get caught up on, and I've been cautioning them because I think that I'm going to go back to the Tyreke Evans, Steph Curry draft. And by the way, there was James Harden in that draft. And there was Blake Griffin in that draft, okay? Tyreke Evans was the Rookie of the Year. If you go back and look at that draft again, there are several players that you would have taken ahead of Tyreke Evans.
Easily.
Okay? So if Luka Doncic is the Rookie of the Year, it doesn't mean that the Kings took the wrong guy. Now, if 3 years from now, you are having this conversation with me and we're getting ready for the start of Marvin Bagley's fourth season and he's just a so-so player and Luka Doncic is an all-star, then at that point you go, boy, the Kings really blew it in that draft. But this is going to take 3 years. And again, I think that every team in the league is going to say they took the guy they wanted to, and I'm talking, when I mean every team in the league, I'm talking about the lottery. I think the Kings are really confident with Marvin Bagley. I know this already. They can't get him out of the gym. The guy is in there all the time, and he wants to be great. He doesn't want to be good. He wants to be great. He is driven. There is nothing more important in his life than basketball. He is a basketball junkie, and he is unbelievably gifted. Barring injury, and I really mean this, barring injury, I don't see at the very least, I think he will be a very good NBA player for the majority of his career. That's the worst case scenario I see for him.
A lot of fans were frustrated with the fact that the Kings elected to maybe take a risk in taking Marvin Bagley, even though Luka Doncic was available there at two. I take exception to the fans that are exclaiming that the writing was on the wall, that this was a clear-cut two-player draft, and then there was everybody else. There was Ayton, Doncic, and then your pick of the litter. I take exception to that because I'm aware that there's a lot of information that you and I and everybody else does not know. You know Vlade better than anybody. You know his basketball IQ. You know how connected he is in Europe to the European basketball scene. We know, and you can say confidently, that Vlade, his staff, and everybody did their homework. And if they, who probably know about Luka better than any other organization, didn't end up taking him, that should be enough for we as fans to trust that. Would you agree with that?
I don't think I could say it any better. I mean, who would know the Serbian player, Croatian player, Montenegro player, that region of the world, formerly Yugoslavia, who knows that area? Who has more contacts in that area of the world than Vlade? The other issue is, why didn't the Phoenix Suns take him? Their coach coached Luka Doncic for 2 years.
Yep.
I think Luka Doncic is going to be a good NBA player. I think he's going to be good. But again, the Kings took a player that they think is going to be very good to great and is going to be around for a long time and has the attributes to play in this style of basketball and play it at a very high level. So maybe everybody's wrong. Listen, if the draft were held all over again last year, do you think Donovan Mitchell would go where he went?
No way.
Do you think Kyle Kuzma would? I mean, you know, if this were so easy, nobody would ever make a mistake. Mm-hmm. So listen, if Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley turn out to be very good players, so what? You know, good for Dallas, good for Sacramento. Mm-hmm. If Marvin Bagley turns out to be an average player and Luka Doncic turns out to be a very good player, well, then Vlade and them won't have jobs for much longer. I mean, it's really pretty simple. The yeah. Kings took the player that they thought was the best player at number two, and they feel that Marvin Bagley is a better NBA prospect than Luka Doncic, period. Regardless of position, forget about the position for a minute. They feel that Marvin Bagley is going to be a better NBA player, a better pro than Luka Doncic.
What advice would you give to fans that are realistic? I mean, we're all realistic. We don't expect this team to be a playoff team. We've seen stranger things. It's professional sports. Anything can happen. That's what's great about it. But we're realistic. We don't expect this team, especially in a much better Western Conference, to be competing for the playoffs. When you don't have the draft pick, we know the trade that happened with Philadelphia, and fans still want to hold that against Vlade and pick it apart. I don't think they need to let it go, but I think Vlade has done significantly better since that trade onward. Actually, since really DeMarcus onward is how I split up his tenure. What advice would you give to fans that are trying to enjoy and get through the season and support a team that isn't expected to win too many games, that doesn't have a draft pick, but ultimately this unit that they have is what they believe can turn into that playoff team?
Well, as far as the draft pick goes, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it next June. It may end up being a really, in hindsight, an awful move by Vlade. We'll see. All right, let's get through this year first. And here's the other deal. The Kings may have a first-round draft pick next year. They may make a trade. Mm-hmm. And so, again, let's cross that bridge when we get to it. If this team, at the end of 82 games, if we don't collectively as a fan base say, okay, wow, finally, the team is on the doorstep, okay? They're right there.
Yeah.
If we're not at that point after 82 games, then in my opinion, it's been a failure of a season. Okay, so when we get to whatever it is, April 13th, 14th, whenever the season ends, if we don't collectively say, okay, guess what? De'Aaron Fox looks like he's going to be really, really good. Harry Giles, wow. Marvin Bagley, wow, looks like he's going to be a really good player. Look at how much improved Buddy is. I can go right on down the list.
Yep.
If we're not having that conversation, and if that's not the narrative, then this thing is all wrong. If on the other hand, we as fans go, man, it's April, but I just can't wait until next October because this Kings team has a chance to be in the playoffs. Maybe they need this one position.
Right.
And the Kings are going to have a lot of money to go out and get that one player. Mm-hmm. Now, are they going to go out and get Kawhi Leonard? No. We got to be realistic about this. But they can still go out and get that player to help them. And so that's how I'm going to evaluate this season. The number of wins is always great, but more than that, and again, I'm not going to say that that's not important. It is important, is what kind of hope do we have collectively as a fan base when we get to April? Is it going to be like, I can't wait till October, or, oh my God, we're right back to where we've always been, terrible, no progress, this guy can't play, that guy looked like a bad pick. That's what can't happen.
We've gotten little flashes of that excitement and that anticipation in two major ways. One, we saw De'Aaron Fox's ability to close out games towards the end of last season that made us excited about what next step he can make. But the other one was Harry Giles. We heard so much about Harry last year. Praise from yourself, praise from Doug Christie, praise from Vince Carter. Everybody, top to bottom, there's not a bad thing that could be said about Harry Giles. We finally see him in preseason. And one thing that I pointed out was we didn't see him blow up any stat category. He had a couple good statistical games, but he didn't do one thing exponentially well. He didn't score 25 points, anything like what Jaren Jackson Jr. did. But what we did see is someone who's been injured repeatedly over the last couple of years play a large amount of minutes in a lot of back-to-back games and be just fine.
Right.
To me, that was the brightest spot of everything. But based off what you've seen from the California Classic and what you're expecting to see from him with this team going forward, is the hype put in the right place for Harry?
I think the hype is justified. I think it is spot on. I've watched a couple of workouts this summer in which he has played in. Barring injury, I don't see how he is not going to be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. I mean, I'll just say it right then and there. Now, you might say, well, gee, he shouldn't be eligible for the Rookie of the Year. I don't make the rules, okay? I think that Ben Simmons had an advantage last year, too.
Sure.
But those are the rules. Again, barring injury, I think you're going to look at Harry Giles, and when we get to April, we're going to say, gee, he might be rookie of the year. That's how good I think he can be.
Really quickly, I want to get your thoughts on Nemanja Bjelica and Yogi Ferrell that the Kings added in the offseason. Free agency period, I don't think we really expected the Kings to be all that active because they don't necessarily need to be, even though they had the money to be. You talked about how important next summer could be. But for what they added this year, what do you like about these two
players? I know they were very disappointed that they didn't get Zach LaVine and that they really wanted him. They had targeted him. And the Bulls obviously wanted him and matched the offer. So, you know, it's not like they didn't try to go out and acquire talent. They've put a lot of money on the table for Zach and Chicago in, 10 minutes matched it. Listen, Bjelica is a guy that in this day and age, the way the NBA's played, you need to stretch the floor and you need guys that can shoot. He can shoot. He can play the three. He can play the four. I always like to get the opinion of people that I've known for a long time in the league. And a player that played here briefly when the Kings moved from Kansas City and then you know, in the 80s was Jim Peterson. And Jim Peterson is the longtime television analyst for the Timberwolves. And I had sent a message privately about Bjelica, and he was raving about him. So I said, hey, would you come on the show? He said, yeah. And I said, you know, tell me what you think about Bjelica. And he goes, I love him. He goes, I think he was misused in Minnesota. He goes, I think you guys got yourselves a real find. He goes, I love the guy. Flat out says, I love the guy. Okay? That to me means more than what I have to say. I've only seen him play a handful of times. Sure. It means more than what a fan calling up on the radio has to say about him. This is a guy that watched him play every game of his NBA career. Right. That means a lot. Same thing with Yogi Ferrell. I had Mark Folliwell on, the long-time TV voice of the Mavericks, talking about, hey, man, you guys really, you're going to love Yogi. He's going to really help you. Boy, he can shoot. He can step back and shoot. And he's durable. He played in all 82 games. Name me the last time a guy on a 10-day contract was the NBA Player of the Week. I mean, this guy's got some talent. He's going to help coming off the bench. Now, are these all-stars? No. Are they players that are going to absolutely turn around the Kings? No. But there are guys that you can count on that can step in and help you play. And so for that reason, I think the Kings got themselves two good role players.
Bjelica, also a former teammate of Bogdanovich as well, and then a true stretch four, which the Kings have been looking for God knows how long. They've been knocking on the door for one, really since Patrick Patterson, probably, or Anthony Tolliver.
I was going to say Anthony Tolliver. You're right. Those are the two guys.
Yep. So, but last thing for you, I have to ask you, because this is the news that dropped today. Crazy what's going on in Minnesota with Jimmy Butler, Tom Thibodeau. I was curious just to briefly get your thoughts on that. I mean, if this doesn't prove anything, I mean, they finally break that playoff drought. Winning isn't everything, clearly, because there's clearly some factions in that locker room.
It is, and we knew that. I'm a little nervous about where the league is heading right now with players demanding that they're not going to play here, and they're going to give a list of teams that they will play for. It makes me nervous for markets like Sacramento. Because the Kings have a lot of young, I'll use the word commodities. I think they're commodities. And I think they're going to continue to grow in value. What happens when they come up, when they can make that type of a decision? It makes me really nervous where the league is heading right now. The Timberwolves gave up a lot to get Jimmy Butler.
For a rental.
That's exactly right. And now he's saying, no, you need to trade me after meeting with Tom Thibodeau. I feel awful for the Minnesota fans. Apparently, I had heard rumblings when I was in Minnesota this year doing the Kings games that not everyone was happy and that there were some issues. And you got to feel for the Minnesota fans because Jimmy Butler's a heck of a player. And, you know, he's, 29 years old. He's got a lot of basketball left, barring injury. And so it's a tough situation. It really is.
Grant, I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on. Have a great start of next season, the broadcast next season. Looking forward to seeing you work with Doug. And we'll try and sneak you in if you ever get some time off in that busy schedule of yours. But we appreciate it here on Locked On Kings.
My pleasure, Matt.
Thanks again to Grant Napier for spending a couple minutes here on the Locked On Kings podcast before heading on the air to do his normal weekly show Monday through Friday. You can hear it from 3 to 7 p.m. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Also, the duo that is on the call on television for the Sacramento Kings this season. Definitely looking forward to hearing those two and seeing those two work together on a consistent nightly basis. I think they'll bring a lot of fun, a lot of energy, and something fresh and exciting into your living rooms or wherever you will stream or watch Sacramento Kings games. Said a lot of interesting stuff, but I got to get to this, man. I'm excited about this. I grew up loving Space Jam. And I know Space Jam, a lot of people don't think it's a very good movie. Some people really don't like it. I love Space Jam. I will always love Looney Tunes. Michael Jordan, of course. There's not really anything about Space Jam that I didn't like or I didn't enjoy. It's still one of my favorite movies of all time. I make an effort to try and watch it multiple times a year, and I still don't get bored of it. It makes me laugh, makes me cry. It's just a great video, great movie overall. But the announcement today that, guess what, Space Jam 2, we've heard so many rumors about it. Was Blake Griffin going to be the next one? Was it going to be LeBron James, which makes the most sense? Well, yes, indeed, it was announced today. Space Jam 2 is happening, ladies and gentlemen. LeBron James will star, and it'll be directed by Ryan Coogler, who is the director of the Black Panther movie. And if you haven't seen Black Panther and how amazing that movie was, you need to go and check it out. And it's the biggest endorsement I could possibly give Mr. Ryan Coogler. So I'm really excited to have him working on that. It's going to be great to see LeBron James there. We knew one of the reasons why he decided to go and play in Los Angeles was the Hollywood side of things. Don't be surprised by that at all. And I don't expect, or I hope people don't turn their noses up at LeBron James. Oh, he sold out for the money or sold out for the movie contract. Of course he did. He's going there to expand, to broaden his horizon. He can't play basketball forever. It doesn't look like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon. But if you're in LA, if you're in the Hollywood market, you're going to be used in that way and you're going to cash in. And plus, he's been doing movies and in movies before he just moved over to LA. So this is nothing new. He's also had an LA home for quite some time. So I'm excited about this. I'm ready to watch this movie. I will definitely be seeing it in theaters, assuming it does come out in theaters, because why wouldn't it? So I'm going to be checking this out, and then maybe we'll do, once this movie comes out, who knows how long it's going to be. But assuming I'm still hosting the Locked On Kings podcast, maybe we'll do a Space Jam 2 review on Locked On Kings, and then maybe I'll give away a couple copies of the movie as well, or tickets to go see the movie. Who knows? That's in the future. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm excited. I'm pumped up. I got giddy when I saw this news this morning. That is going to do it for today. Join me on Friday as Jason Ross, the former host of this very podcast and the current one of the radio broadcasters for the Sacramento Kings, along with the G-Man Gary Gerald. He will be joining me on Friday, and we'll chat about the offseason and get you ready for the media day, which is happening here next week, the start of training camp, and then we'll preview what he's going to be talking about as he hosts the Locked On Kings podcast next week for you while I am out of town. So be sure to return for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. Have yourself a great day today and tomorrow. Talk to you all on Friday. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.